tired of being ambushed because people can hear your huge, heavy, clanking metal armor? No more, people. Not with the patented Illusion Battle Mage dress. Yes, for only 8 easy payments of $9.95 and 1 complicated payment of $1,000, you can have your very own battle dress. And we'll also throw in a free complimentary issue of Guildcast. Have a listen.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 77th episode of Guildcast for July 29th, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. Well, I have quite a show in store for you today. The topic is how non-gamers view our gaming. It was originally going to be a live call-in show via Skype casting, which we've used before on the show quite a few months ago. Well, when the show was supposed to start, there were some major technical difficulties where basically no one could get in. So after trying everything I could think of to fix it, it seems that what the problem was Skype casting itself was having some problems that night. I tried doing some other Skype casts and joining a few other ones, and we actually tried creating some new ones to see if any of that would help, but none of it helped. We couldn't connect to any of them. So I'm not sure if there was some sort of Skype server problem or whatever, but I had to cancel that event. But not to worry. Not only did I get some nice emails that I'm going to read concerning this topic, but I was also able to record a call with Big Daddy Goose and his wife, where we talked about some real-world issues in the realm of gaming, mostly focusing on the topic of game addiction, which is a recent buzz in the news lately. So let's get on to the massive list of players who has to be mentioned this time around. We have Zatada Morafet, Zenok Canthan, Kelsey Konigsey, Blessed Amy of Lunel, who had a birthday recently, Teddy Killer, Nick Storm, Preppy Jedi, Golden Dragger, and Anya Sky wanted to thank the loads of people who gave her birthday items last week. In the news, there's been quite a few more tidbits regarding Eye of the North, the new expansion for Guild Wars. So let's start with the pre-order pack. Players who pre-order Guild Wars Eye of the North will gain access to the Sneak Peek Weekend, which is August 24th through August 26th, 2007, where they will be able to log into the game for a first look at Eye of the North. Players will be able to explore the far Shiver Peaks region of the world, home of the barbaric Norn. Everything players obtain during the Sneak Peek Weekend, including items, XP, heroes, and loot, will be permanent and available when the expansion goes live. And remember that, because that's the first time they've done that with a new expansion and a Sneak Peek Weekend. The Guild Wars Eye of the North pre-release bonus pack also comes with exclusive weapons, including the Glacial Blade, the Hourglass Staff, and the Dark Steel Longbow. These new weapons are based on the winning designs from the Guild Wars Design a Weapon contest held earlier this year. In addition, the pre-release bonus pack includes a Guild Wars Trilogy Trial DVD that provides access to all three of the Guild Wars campaigns for a special trial promotion lasting 10 hours or 14 days, whichever comes first. Now, as has been the case with every other pre-release pack for any chapter of Guild Wars, there seems to be some inconsistencies with retailers. Personally, I just went ahead and got mine on the online store to avoid all that, but many players like to have the box in hand or the DVD in hand or any other special bonuses that come along with the package itself, but the problem is that people are reporting that they can't find the pre-release in any retail stores right now, or if they do, they're actually being charged more than the normal $5 fee for it. Also, a new trailer for Eye of the North has been released on July 19th. I'll put a link to that in today's show notes so you can check it out for yourself, because it's really well worth a look. Also, check out some other links I'll put up for Eye of the North skills and pictures of some new Eye of the North heroes and monsters. Now, for you mini pet collectors, there's actually a new mini pet that's just been announced, the Grawl. But here's the catch. ArenaNet will be offering keys that allow you to acquire this little guy in July and August at local fan shows such as Comic-Con, Gen Con, and PAX. But they say, don't worry, they will be offering ways to get a key later on as well. So that's all of the game news I had this week. But I do have a whole lot of news concerning this podcast and some major plans that I have. I figured I'd just go ahead and tell you all now instead of the end of the show, when I usually make the big announcements because, well, you're still awake right now, so. Recently I've done some things in-game, such as I stepped down as the guild leader of my guild, which I announced last week, and then I've done some things out of game, such as joining the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective. And some of these things have really left some people scratching their heads, wondering, you know, do I have some kind of big plan in mind? I've actually received some emails from some concerned listeners worried that I'm fading out of this whole podcasting thing. Well, I'm here to tell you that not only am I not fading away from podcasting, I'm actually taking the opposite approach. In the next few months, or however long it takes, I'm going to start initiating some long-term plans for me and podcasting. The first step in this is a new podcast that I've created. Now, this won't be replacing Guildcast, it will be in addition to Guildcast. It's called Oh My God Real Life, or OMGRL for short. It's a show all about real life for gamers, which is precisely why I wanted to do this episode's topic this week. Actually, the theme song that you heard at the beginning of this episode will be the show's theme song also. It'll cover everything from current news stories that somehow combine real-world issues for the gamer community. It will also have an advice segment where I'll give honest, straightforward advice to people who want it. And also, it'll be a little bit about online etiquette when dealing with real people in a virtual setting. This podcast will allow me to stretch my wings a bit when it comes to saying exactly how I feel. See, on Guildcast, I give a lot of helpful information on one particular game. It's arranged by themes, and it's pretty, you know, clean-cut and pretty dry in a lot of the things I deliver in Guildcast, which is great, and I love doing it. But this new podcast will be more open-ended with the occasional explicitness. So take note of that. If you're underage or you don't want to hear me curse every once in a while, this new show probably isn't for you. I guess you could say it's kind of like a spin-off of Episode 63. If Episode 63 went out and got its own show, this would be it. So if you want to check that out, I have the introductory episode already recorded and up, and it's got its own feed and everything, and it's ready to listen to. And the website is www.omg-rl.com. Okay, continuing on with my podcast plans. Eventually, I'd like to offer an extension to Guildcast. This would be a bonus episode every other week, or possibly even every week, which would bring the lineup back to an every week show, or possibly even more frequently than that. But the catch is, it will be a fee-based subscription. Whoa, subscription? Sean, how can you mention the S word on a Guild Wars podcast? Well, the details aren't ironed out yet, but it will be a very high-level, exclusive content, such as the best specific farming spots, or the best builds for high-level areas, or the best money-making spots. Things that I haven't really talked about before on Guildcast. Things that I've kind of skipped over. And I try to make Guildcast more of a beginner, you know, helping out the new guy. But this exclusive content will be only high-end stuff. It'll be the very top-end, you know, the best way to make money, the best way to farm, and including builds, possibly videos, anything that will be to help you be just superior in this game. So these extra shows will be offered as downloads, or maybe even a separate password-protected feed for a subscription of just a few dollars a month, like maybe at the maximum $5 a month, which is really nothing if you think about it. If you buy a paper every day, you spend well over $5 a month. Will I still be doing the free show every other week for those who don't want to pay? Yeah, certainly. That won't change one bit. This will just be something extra. And again, this all won't take place for a little while still. And then, eventually, I will also introduce something like this for my second podcast as well, somewhere down the line. And if that wasn't enough, I also plan on doing a separate Guild Wars 2 podcast. So I imagine you're wondering, how the heck am I going to maintain three podcasts, extending one of them to every week, and possibly doing the other two every week, and hold on a full-time job, and every other thing that I have going on in my life? Well, that's a part of the story that I'm going to save for another day, when more details are worked out. But let's just say that this is something that I've been working on for a long time, and it's just about all I think about all day, every day. So, you know, I'm really serious about this. So anyway, let's stop with all this jabbering and get on with the topic of the day, shall we? First, I'm going to play the recorded conversation I had with Big Daddy Goose and his wife, and then I'll come back to read some emails that I got on this topic.
PC Gamer and even Buzz Out Loud and a few others have been reporting that there's a new trend that's coming out of Europe. Lawyers are trying to show that video game addiction is just as addicting as alcohol, drugs, marijuana, that kind of thing. And so there's a big fight, you know, saying that you cannot classify video games as an addiction, like a medical addiction. There's a very broad difference between a chemical addiction and a video game addiction.
Right. It could still be addicting, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I was pretty addicted to the internet about 6 months ago.
Yep.
And was on there about how many hours a day?
More than you should have been, yeah.
Probably like 3 or 4 hours out of the day when the kids are at school.
Yeah.
And so it can definitely be addicting. I know that, especially when you start talking to people and people start talking back to you and you found out that you like the same things, and then it just gets kind of out of hand and you start talking to like 20, 30 people. And yeah, it's, you know, it can definitely be time consuming for sure.
And that's the exact draw that online games have, you know, like WoW and Guild Wars is, you know, you go in there because it's interesting to play, but once you start playing, you realize, wow, there are real people in here that are playing the same game that have the same kind of interests I do. You know,
right.
They're trying to do the same thing, and they, oh, wow, look, they like the same movies. Oh, wow, look, they like the same
kind
of, so, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess it's good when, you know, Goose over here has, you know, his Guild Wars and Transformers and whatever else that he goes on, and then he's looking at me like, okay. And, you know, I have my message boards and my MySpace and stuff like that. And, and, we both have our own computers and the same room. So we're in the same room together, which is nice. And, you know, every now and then we'll look at what each other's doing and, you know, get involved. And, you know, so we're spending time together, essentially, I guess, in the same room.
Well, technically, we're spending.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll be on her computer. She'll be like talking to a bunch of her friends, chatting. You know, about there's a concert coming up, so she's making plans and talking about where they're going to meet and things like that. And she's telling me, oh, the so and so is going to meet us. Oh, by the way, so and so did this. Oh, so and so did that. I'm like, yeah. I'm just about to finish Thunderhead Keep. Can you just hold that real quick?
The king is going to die.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'll be farming and I'll like die like 15 times in a row, and I'll get frustrated and I'll like slam the computer keyboard down and walk out. And she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, no big deal. I just died.
Yeah, that's a little bit irritating.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you don't want the kids to see you getting angry at a computer game.
Exactly.
Because then they go and get angry at the computer game. And our oldest, he gets really, he's really involved in video games. And we have to limit him. You know, he's 8 years old and he would sit on the GameCube all day long if we let him. And he's really into games and computer as well. He was typing at the computer at 2 years old. So he's definitely
changing my screensaver and my password.
Yeah.
2 years old.
Yeah, he's real pretty good with the computer. So I guess that's a good thing in a lot of ways. But yeah.
So let me ask you this: do you consider what you do on the computer different than what Goose does on the computer? As far as, you know, he uses it for gaming and you use it for more of a social interaction. Do you think that one is more more addicting than the other?
Well, I think the fact that when you play Guild Wars, you can actually play with other people on the internet, and you're essentially talking to them. And in Rich's case, you know, he has the microphone, so he can actually talk, you know, physically talk to them. And actually, I think with that, when you are able to talk with the microphone, I think it can probably be a little bit more addicting, because not only are you typing to these people, but you're actually able to talk to them and you feel more connected and like you really know each other. Whereas, you know, with me on my message boards, there's just a select few people that I talk to, and some of them I've never seen and never heard and don't even have a picture of them. And, you know, you're trying to picture in your mind what they look like. And, but I think it can be a little bit more addicting when you actually can physically talk to somebody over the internet with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually I've noticed that too. I mean, you know, when I'm talking to, some of the guys from one of my previous guilds, the Tech Rangers, you know, they, I've been talking to them online for so long, you know, they know my story, they know my family, they know my history. You know, my boys will come in the room and they'll hear me talking to one of my friends called Pilot. And they say, "Is that Pilot?" I say, "Yeah, you want to say hi?" And they say, you know, I put them on the mic, they say hi, and Pilot's like, "Oh, hey Nathan, how you doing?" And so they, you know, they know my kids and,
yeah,
you know, I know their stories, you know, I know, mm-hmm, their background, and, they know that, you know, like we're in a mission and I say, "Hey guys, I'm going to go pray with my kids." They all know that's coming and, you know, they all respect that. And so, yeah, I feel, mm-hmm, a much deeper connection to them. And so I do feel a little bit more addicted in the fact that it's not just, you know, something, it's not just a board where, you know, I type and then I sit back and wait for someone else to post a response. It's, you know, it's an immediate, instant interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know sometimes also, on YouTube, there's a stream that my friend in Michigan created, and she goes on there, and so we instant message each other back and forth, and, you know, she knows who my kids are, she's seen pictures, there was about five or six of us that created a message board, just because we had met on the Wiggles message board and wanted to get away from there for reasons, and got on this other board, and you know, they know pretty much about, you know, my life as well, and I do feel, you know, I feel like I sort of know these people in a way. I mean, it's hard to, you know, tell for sure when you really know somebody over the internet, but I do definitely think that having a microphone, it makes it more real.
Yeah.
You know. So
now, to me, you know, you're mentioning the kids and everything, and to me, I might just be in denial, but I don't consider a lot of the gaming as addictive or as an addiction myself, and that's just a personal, you know, view. But mm-hmm. I think when someone gets to the point where they neglect other issues, other more important issues, such as children,
right,
that's when I think it's an addiction. And I know I've heard of other people. I personally make certain that I don't ever take time away from my kids for the game, you know. And I know there are a lot of people out there who actually do the exact opposite. Now you guys sound like you have a pretty level head about that, and you know your limitations, and you know, you
right.
know, when the kids come in the room, you don't just say go away, you know, or anything like that. But
right as you said that, my son came in the room and we said, "Go away."
Okay, well,
we prepared them for this tonight. Yeah, they know that we're doing this, so, you know, they're, "Oh, yeah, that's right. Oops." So that's just funny that she said that. Well, I know, just like I was saying earlier, that I was at the point about, I guess it was back in the fall when Rich, or, you know, Goose over here, yeah. I don't know. They know your real name, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. When he introduced me to YouTube, and all of a sudden I can find all these 80s videos that I watched when I was a kid, and I just got engulfed in that. And I was looking up things about Steve Irwin because I kind of went kind of crazy when he died, and I just wanted to know everything I could about him. And then with the Wiggles, my kids were getting to the Wiggles, and I started typing Wiggles, and all kinds of stuff came up, and really, that was a real first experience that I had on the internet with any kind of message boards. I never would do anything like that other than email. Mm-hmm. And, so at that point, I guess it was probably about a month or so that I realized that I was just, you know, into it way too much, and in a way I think I was kind of neglecting my 3-year-old, and you know, but I realized that, and actually, you know, my husband pointed it out to me that you're just, you know, you're spending way too much time doing this when, you know, maybe you should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, after realizing it and, you know, it, you know, quote unquote repenting of it and really just spending, you know, kind of limiting my time and I'm not gonna really blame it on the internet because a part of it was a depression that I'm suffering and I was not yet diagnosed and I think that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think just escaping and just getting into it and so, you know, I agree with you though. I don't really think that it's necessarily an addiction, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, the positive thing out of that is what, you know, once you realized, Trina, that that was happening, you made radical steps to change that. I mean,
right.
you stopped going on the internet for, you know, a long time. You made a schedule, you know, for the boys. She actually made a daily schedule. So that when the kids get out of school, they've got, you know, blocks of time that they spend with mommy, blocks of time they spend with daddy when daddy gets home from work. And so they have a very set schedule so they know, oh, well, this is mommy time, so I'm going to spend time with mommy. And she can't take that away from them, you know. So she made a lot of effort in making sure that she protects that time with the boys. For me, the challenge was, you know, I'd be playing Guild Wars, a number of days, like on a Saturday when, like, maybe Trina is at a friend's house or Trina's, visiting parents or something. And so I have the boys at home with me and, usually they just like to play in their room or play video games or play with their toys or whatever. And so I come over here and I play Guild Wars. Well, my two oldest, they usually try and play together. Well, ideally they would play together. My middle child, though, you know, very needy, you know, very, very affectionate, you know, always wants someone to talk to, someone to play with. My oldest is kind of a loner, you know, likes to play by himself, doesn't like to, you know, doesn't really need a whole lot of people around him. And so they wouldn't play together because the oldest didn't want to play with him. I'd be playing Guild Wars, and my middle child would come to me and say, Daddy, I want to play with someone. And I'm like dead in the middle of a mission. Or, you know, I'm just getting a pug together, and I'm like, buddy, a pickup group.
Okay.
We have a cat named Pug.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pugsley, like Pugsley and Wednesday from the Adams.
Oh.
Yeah.
But so, I'd be very deep into playing Guild Wars, and my son would come to me and say, Daddy, I want someone to play with. And I would hear myself say, buddy, not right now, you know, you just need to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see him, you know, just kind of, you know, droop his head and just walk off. And that just crushed me.
Yeah.
You know, that just really cut my heart. And it was at that point when I kind of realized I'm putting more value on spending time on a game and people online than my own children.
Yeah.
And, you know, that my own children, we believe children are, you know, a blessing from God. God gave us children, you know, because, you know, there's a reason we have children. So,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm, you know, neglecting my abilities and my duties as a father. Not only is that hurting him, but that's going to affect him in the long run. What kind of relationships is he not going to be able to have, or what kind of skewed relationships is he going to develop based on the fact that his daddy wouldn't spend time with him?
Yeah.
So it really, really tore at me. And we make it a good point now that, you know, we spend time with our boys and we make sure our boys are loved and they know they're loved. And any time we spend on the computer is just like additional time.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. It's really important. And I think, you know, once you get to that point, like you said, you know, if you get to that point where you actually tell your child not now, and then you see him walk away with his head drooping down, that's, you know, if you get to that point and you say, whoa, 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 what am I doing? And you turn yourself around, then that's good. But if you don't, that's when it's a big problem, you know. So it's good that when people can see that and they can actually be proactive against trying, you know, being addicted to something like a game.
Right.
Exactly. And I think one of the, you know, biggest threats there is not only just for parents but also for the kids themselves. You know, we have a lot of teens and preteens that are playing Guild Wars. You know, and the, you know, the threat there is that, you know, they'll replace normal relationships in real life with their online relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll value playing the game more than going out and playing football or spending time with real life friends. And, yeah. You know, that's just, you know, that's not something I want to instill in my children. You know, I want to show them that, you know, real people come first.
Mm-hmm. You know, and back to the kind of addiction topic that, a lot of people don't realize, you know, these MMOs are a brand new thing, so a lot of the psychologists are jumping on this and saying it's an addictive thing or gaming in general. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't realize that, you know, TV is very addictive. I mean,
right.
I don't turn my TV on anymore at all. My TV comes on maybe once a week and it's the same channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always like Nickelodeon or something. So
right.
It's
right.
Not, I think, gaming has just replaced other leisurely kind of cool down after work activities, you know.
Right.
A lot of times I'll sit in front of the computer while I'm eating. My point is, you know, everything can be addictive. I mean, you can go to the gym 3 times a day because you're obsessive about your body. That's addictive. You know, you
right.
Can,
right.
Anything you do can be labeled as addictive if you do it enough. So I think it's just gaming is just the thing of the day now, where
right.
They're trying to pick something new like this, and they're trying to say it's addictive. But
I mean, I know even when I was a kid, you know, we had, you know, the Atari, you know, the first Atari that came out, and you know, well, we also had cable TV. You know, we had HBO. We had, like, I guess back then it was a good 25 channels, which was a, you know, big amount of channels for back in the day.
Yeah.
And so I pretty much grew up watching a lot of TV, I played Atari a lot, you know, at the point when I was maybe about 8 or 9 years old, I spent a lot of time on that. But, you know, I also spent a lot of time outside, you know, even just playing by myself, you know, and I think these days it's so much easier for kids to not go outside and play because there's so much other stuff that can be done inside, you know, yeah. On the computer, in front of the TV, you know, video games, and these cell phones that have these games and the music, and it's just crazy. It's like people are just getting, you know, what is the word I'm trying to say? Inundated? Is that what the
inundated?
Name? Inundated with media.
Yeah.
And so I can understand. I guess in that respect, people can also say that your cell phone is addictive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I know some people who just are constantly either talking, sending text messages, you know, whatever they do on the cell phones, all this stuff. And honestly, I mean, that can be just as, you know, just as addictive. I mean, right. Yeah, right. A lot of things can be addictive.
I think one of the things about addiction that, you know, the lawyers and doctors are not seeming to grasp here is that the addictive qualities that are out there currently with, like, drugs and alcohol, those addictive qualities can be applied to anyone who, you know, takes those. Like, anyone who starts to drink alcohol for a while will become addicted. Anyone who smokes for a while will become addicted. Anyone who takes such drug for a while will become addicted to that. So the addictive qualities are qualities that, you know, cause addiction in anyone that partakes of that. Well, online gaming is not like that. You know, you have only like, you've got some people that do not like that kind of game. So even if they try and play it, you know, for hours at a time, they just don't get into it. Whereas, you know, you get another person right next door, and because they are, you know, hooked in that kind of that kind of reality, they love that game, and 5 minutes into it, they're addicted.
Yeah.
So I think it's not necessarily the fact that games are addictive. I think it's, you know, people become addicted to certain types of entertainment. Like you said, television, movies, you know, there's someone that spends all his money on nothing but movies, you know, going out to movie theaters. I think it's important for the listeners to remember that, you know, this is a show about a game, but, you know, the people listening to the show and the people playing the game are real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the real people out there, you know. So when you're playing online or when you're, you know, chatting with people online, those are people with real lives. You know, they've got real problems. They've got mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, children. They've got issues. They've got medical problems. They've got who knows what. And so, you know, you just need to treat them as real people. Mm-hmm. But that shouldn't take away from your real relationships.
So now I'm going to read a few emails that I got on this topic from some listeners. And the first one is from Alusian, who you actually heard on the intro for today's show. He says, "My family doesn't like how I spend so much time online gaming with other people. My sister thinks it's weird and says I should hang out more with my real friends. My mom doesn't have too much of a problem with it, but I know that she, along with my grandmother, both have a paranoia of me meeting someone online and getting killed or kidnapped. It's happened to people before. They also wonder at times why I spend so much time talking to people I've never seen, only heard occasionally. I think the primary reason is that the people online playing the same game as you share at least one similarity. I don't know about other gamers out there, but I'm in the group of 4 or 5 kids that everyone else shuns because we don't play sports and we do our schoolwork on time. While I don't agree trying to ignore real-life problems like that completely, and instead devoting yourself to the game is a good thing, but it is nice to be able to hang out with people who are like you and you can have a good time with. I think that's what my non-gamer community doesn't understand. And though I've tried explaining it, they just don't follow my explanation the whole way through. It's true, I could probably be a lot more social in my day-to-day life, and it's important to work on that, but I think non-gamers should try and see the reasoning behind some of the gaming before ripping on someone else about it." Okay, and this next one is from Drofwork. He says, "How my family views my addiction. My family is pretty tolerant when it comes to me playing Guild Wars, but they have in the past put restrictions on how long I can play for. It used to be when I had just started around 2 to 3 hours per day. Now it's been cut to less than 2 hours per day, unless it's a special occasion or I have it planned. When I discovered TeamSpeak, my parents, like most, thought it could lead to internet predators. But after a while, and some explaining, they got that unless I gave someone my address, they couldn't track me down and abduct me. About 3 weeks ago, my dad started questioning me on different aspects of the game, such as storyline and gameplay. When I tried to explain it, I was at a loss for words because it seemed like such a basic and trivial knowledge. After a couple of hours, he could grasp how the game worked. I hope to one day get one of my parents to try and play GW because I think it might be slightly amusing to watch them walk into a wall and keep holding down W and say, 'Why won't my guy go away from the wall?' I wish I could have been at home during the Skype cast, but alas, I'm going to be gone. See you in game." Well, no worries there because the Skype cast didn't work. And this next one is from a player named Nikal Nalani. He actually gives me a little pronunciation guide there. He says, "Here's the situation I run into with non-GW gamers. My wife doesn't like GW and doesn't want me to play it. I have to play it other places when she's not at home or sneak in a few quests while she's sleeping." And finally, we have one more story left from Mija Nguyen. He says, "My family doesn't really approve of my interest in computers. They believe that the internet is bad and that computers will destroy modern society if it hasn't done so already. But I think that's only because they can't use computers. My dad has a typing pace of half a word per minute, and my mom thinks having a mouse on my desk will make a terrible health hazard. I keep telling them that their jobs could be made so much easier with computers. My dad runs a business, or tries to. I recently digitized all his documents and financial stuff for him so that he can easily keep records of customers. My mom's a dentist. She has to call someone for help every time the computer makes an odd blip. My parents think that computers are a waste of time. The same with video games, but I think that's rather fun, being against your parents' beliefs a little bit. I like to read about what's happening in technology. No, I don't give out tech specs on graphic cards or drivers. I can just see a trend for what the big computer companies are focusing on. Example, this year software companies are focusing on the full shift to web services like .Mac or Windows Live. Hardware companies are focusing on graphics performance mainly and finding new ways of interacting with computers. I'm not obsessive. I just have one little RSS feed from a generic news company that gives me what I want. I got into Guild Wars a year ago. Before that I had a PlayStation 2 and 5 games. The one I always played was Gran Turismo 4. Ah, the life. I've got friends into the game as well. I recently met up with some, and they even listen to Guildcast. I can see myself playing Guild Wars more now. When I bought it, I thought, cool, a new type of game, completely online. Now, almost every game I look at seems to have some sort of online feature or back-end service. It's amazing. Yes, I'm new to video games. StarCraft? What's that? Half-Life? No, just the full one. My gaming personality is strongly reflected by my real-world life. I work hard, I'm not the best person in the world, I don't get awards or commendations, I just do what I'm supposed to. That's what I do in Guild Wars. I play it, I enjoy it, I don't go for big titles or fancy elite skills or green weapons. I also do a lot of talking. I like to say hello to people, especially those people that I don't see a lot in game. A lot of people I know in Guild Wars are American, and me living in Scotland, I'm not always there when everyone else is online. It really does kill me every time I hear there's a party in-game or a live show like this one, because I know at 14 I wouldn't be allowed to be on the computer at 4 in the morning. But I get by anyway. I play the game fairly, and I put my part, as little as it is, into the Guild Wars community. Yours in faith and trust, Maijuin. So that's it for another episode of Guildcast. Next episode will be about the many Guild Wars online comics available, including some interviews with their creators. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at sean@guildcast.com, or you can email Lady Sinea at ladysinea@gmail.com. And you can call the new voicemail line at 1-206-600-6378, or leave me a message on Skype. Thanks for letting me ramble on about my future with podcasting. If you have any feedback at all concerning this, I'd love to hear from you either by email or on the Guildcast forums where it can be discussed with other listeners. Now, I want any feedback at all, if it's good, bad, whatever you think about this, because this will depend on you. If this is something that you think is crazy, let me know. If you think it's something that is a great idea and that I can actually maintain for quite a while, let me know. So, until next time, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.